I think it was Jamal. I mean, come on, not Kim.
Yeah, no, I didn't ask to be on the stack.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I've done that before. That's my chicken scratch, Kamau. I can't read my own handwriting. Go ahead, Kamau.
All right, great. So, Stephanie, to kind of follow up on that audit piece, so individual audits kind of strike me as examination of the balance sheet. I know in the past you mentioned that the individual stations do not have balance sheets. Is it possible to complete the audit without a balance sheet for each of the units?
Well, the auditors have been auditing the finances. In order to do the audit for the entire Pacifica Foundation, they need to audit each individual station and division. So those sheets are created by them, and we will be able to get that done. And not to be harping on Robert's Rules of Orders, but again, now I just found a free version of the newly revised 12th edition of the Robert's Rules of Order online for free, 1,135 pages.
What?
Yeah.
Free? The book cost like $23.
Well.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I look forward to seeing the link.
It's true.
Kim,
that's
to
good
the,
news.
Kim to the stack.
Just hold on, Kim. Let's see if Kamau is finished, and then we have me, and then I'll take you. Kamau, were you done?
Well, just a quick follow-up. So you're saying that an audited financial statement does not include a balance sheet for whatever this particular exercise is. Is that what we're saying?
It does, but the auditors create that based upon the finances that they receive from us.
Okay, that's what I was trying to figure out. All right,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. So it's really extra work just for the auditors. So it's not, and it's not, I can't speak on behalf of the auditors, it's not an exorbitant amount of work. It's just writing an unqualified opinion for each of the stations in addition to Pacifica Foundation, and then just providing us with the extra copies. So it'll be slightly, okay. I would imagine, our overall cost for the audit for fiscal year 22 might be a little bit more expensive, but I can't imagine that it would be an exorbitant amount.
Got it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you both. Kim, why don't you go ahead next?
I'm going to pass for now.
Okay, well, I've got a couple of questions, and one is, yeah, it was my understanding about Robert's Rules 12th edition is the current one, and I don't think it's not like, you know, other things where you shepherdize something and that you get updated versions in between the editions, I don't think. I think it's like the 11th edition is the gold standard, and then it's the 12th edition, et cetera. So, I think we would have to stick with that. And boy, if you've got a free one, I think everybody wants to know about that.
Yes, courtesy of yorkcountyfireschool.org, Robert's Rules of Order, newly revised 12th edition, General Henry M. Robert, U.S. Army, courtesy of Public Affairs, City of New York.
Might wonder if there's some copyright issue there. We may need to check to see if there's a copyright issue with that, but that sounds great. The idea of auditing each station separately, did that come about as a result of the fact that we applied as one single unit this time and we didn't break it down by station in our application for the CPV community service grants? Did that have anything to do with that? I mean, because I know in the past we've audited the whole foundation. Everything was subject to the audit. So is this a new development, and was it because we applied as a single unit rather than this? What brought that about, if you know?
I do not know. We were told to apply as one unit because we are the Pacifica Foundation with one 501c3 number. I do not know what prompted them to ask us to do this moving forward.
And the other question that gets begged for based on that information is, does that imply that maybe we could get CPB grants for individual stations. If some are able to meet the requirements and some aren't, we might be able to get grants for the ones that are able to meet the requirements and not the others?
I would not even venture to guess what CPB is thinking.
Hmm. That's been a longstanding question. I'll be very interested to see how that develops. Here's a very specific question. You say that the stations have access to their will have access to their accounts. An issue has come up where we have gotten a small, well, I guess it's what you call it, a major donation. It's several thousand dollars. And the grantor is requesting a voided check so they can set up an automatic transfer, you know, an ACH transaction. Is that something that the station manager could do once they get access to the Bank of America materials? Could he provide them a voided check to get that process underway rather than wait for a period of time and have the donor get a little antsy about what's taking so much time?
Yes. All the stations that have transferred and they have their accounts now over at Bank of America, they have access to it online. You can pull it up on your phone. And not many people use paper checks anymore in general. So there is a place on the app where you can go in and request a voided check, and it'll just pop up on your phone and just save it as a PDF or as a JPEG and send it off. So that's accessible
via
the app.
Cool. And is that active now? Do they have that? There was some mention of training that was going to be available for that. Is that up and running now?
Yes, that is up and running.
Wonderful. Another quick question. I noticed there was something about ethics in your proposed packet of materials, which, by the way, I think is a wonderful idea. I can't tell you how many committees and boards I've come onto in this organization, and there's never any information for newcomers explaining what goes on. It takes years to figure it out. So this would be a very good thing. But it seems like some of it might be venturing into the area of policy. And I, as I've asked you before, I hope, you know, if there are policy questions in your proposals here for packets and handbooks and such, that you'll run it past the PMB.
Yes. When I say ethics, it's really just trying to remind people to be nice.
I know. And we sure could use some of that.
Maybe a quick little overview on how to write emails and how to just be polite to each other.
Yep. I hear it. All right. I have got some more questions, but I'm going to pause in my questions and go and see if there are others who've got some.
Beth, please.
I hear Beth. Oh, Kim, did you want to go now?
No.
Okay, Beth.
Kamau. Who's that?
Kamau. I'm going to write that in big letters so I don't say that wrong again. Anybody else? Okay, I'll put myself again in there to follow up with some more. Go ahead, Beth.
This is just following up on your questions and comments to Stephanie regarding the governance handbook she's working on. I've already invited her. She's already agreed to attend the next governance committee meeting specifically to present what she's working on and so that we can talk about it there, specifically to look through it for governance issues, policy issues. So I hope we'll see you there at that meeting, Jane. You're on that committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Come out.
Okay, Stephanie, going back to budgets. So having a little difficulty here, I'm hoping you can clear it up for me. I think I heard you say that you and Markeisha were able to put together, based on historical averages, the kind of scaled down budget that was presented to this committee and then also to the general managers. At the time you presented it here, there was a very large $160,000 entry on the line called taxes and fees for WPFW. Neither you nor our general manager have any idea what this number is. Do we know how that got on to our profit and loss statement?
I don't have a on the simplified fiscal year 24 that was submitted to the NFC, I don't have taxes and fees. So you might be referring to the consolidated budget, possibly, or budget that you might be working on. When I'm looking at the I'm looking right now at the fiscal year 24 proposed budget, and I have no line item that's taxes and fees. Oh, wait, there we go. 18. Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm wrong. Yeah, that was pulled from, those would be questions that I would have to ask the business manager and the finance committee for WPFW as to what those are, because those were numbers that were pulled from the existing WPFW actuals.
Well, that's fine. You can ask them, because the committee had the general manager at our meeting, both at the finance committee meeting and the LSB meeting we had last week. And there was no answer. In fact, still kind of waiting for some feedback. So, yeah, if the business manager has an idea of how that $160,000 line item appeared, it'd be great. So, to have that answer.
Yeah, because the only other station, because most everybody, I mean, it's what I want to do with this with the simplified budget is that we don't have so many. If there's one line item, then all the stations have that line item. But there's a lot of them that over the years, I think, have added new line items, or they don't know where to file something or code something, so they create a new one. And it's like it should be just very simple that we can look at, project out what the budget is, and everybody is coding things to the same places. So when you look at taxes and fees, the only other station that has a taxes and fee line is KPFT. So, and it's not property tax, because that's another line item. It's not the state filing fees. That's another line item. So, and there's only 18,000. So I can check with Sandy as to where that, and also Markeisha, because she's very aware of the finances at KPFT, because that's where she came from, as to what that is. And, I'm sure there's an answer to this, but those are the only two stations that even have anything in that line item. So that may be able to be some sort of fee or property tax. I mean, you wouldn't have property taxes at WPFW, but yeah, it's most likely something that should be coded someplace else, and it's just being lumped into that.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Kamau. I'm going to ask a couple of questions myself, and then I'll go back and ask if there are any others. Stephanie, the 2013 to 2020 period with the CPB, where we were we weren't receiving the community service grants, but we were receiving other benefits from CPB, including the music licensing. And finally, I guess it was in 2020 when they said, you're done, and they didn't allow us to have that either. Is that the basis for them wanting us to provide that information that we didn't give them from 2013 to 2020, because we were getting some benefits, even though we weren't getting the full benefits? So they still want us to give them all the information that we would have given them if we had made proper applications during that time period, because, again, that's going to be a lot of work. I hope it's doable, but that's quite a burden. Are we going to be – I know, just for example, we do have the audits for those time periods. That's one of the things that they were asking for that we did do. So we've got some of it. but I know there was some question as to whether we have all of it. So is that what they're asking us to do? And how do you feel, what's your prognosis on how that's going to go, if you have one yet?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we just need to do the best we can to try to provide them with information that we said we would provide them back in, you know, 2013. And so I just think that we, as long as we make an effort, and a lot of the forms that with any grant that you get, you have forms that need to be filled out that show how you're spending the money. And they have forms. So when we have our audited financial statements, yes, we have those. And those are great. They're done. That's a huge, you know, step forward with our compliance. But then they have their own audited statements or financial statement forms that need to be filled out. And those somehow were, the ball was just kind of dropped on those throughout those years. So it is going to be a lot of work, but we have to show them that we listened to what they told us to do in 2013 and that we maybe accomplished some of that by the time they wrote their second letter in 2020 stating that we didn't, and try to show to them, you know, try to show them that we're doing what we need to do, what we're told. Is it going to be a lot of work? Yeah. And we also need to be in full compliance with what they want us to be in compliance with 1 year prior to the next application date, which would be May 2024. So, you know, I don't think that a lot of the other issues on a bigger picture, we need to be reaching more people in the audiences that we serve because we are blessed to have towers and stations in very large cities, but we're not reaching the number of people that we should be reaching based upon the population of the cities that we are serving. So there's a lot of other points of in compliance that we need to be meeting.
Yeah, there's a formula they use. I'm aware of that, to determine whether we are, our audience numbers are sufficient, and that will be another hurdle we have to cross. But we have to do that anyway, because we need the revenue of having larger audiences. Another aspect of that is we know they think that we're over-governed, but I don't think they've ever made a formal demand that we change our governing structure. And if we get to that point, I can see the possibility that there's going to be a lot of pushback from within Pacifica not to do that. And so I'm just wondering if there's, I know you can't get, decisions in advance out of agencies like this. You have to come to them with particulars and they'll make a decision on the particulars that you bring. But boy, it would be nice to know if they're going to, you know, how much they're going to require of us and if they're going to require that we change our governance structure. And it would be nice to know that now if we decide, no, we don't want to do that, and we wouldn't do all of this work prior to finding out that, you know, they're going to require us to do that. So do you get any sense that that's going to be a requirement, or is that just something that they offer as an opinion along with our auditors?
I believe that's just an opinion.
Good. Okay. I hope that's the case. One other quick question, and I'll ask if anybody else has questions. There was mention of a Zoom training for the check request procedures that was going to be implemented on October 1st. How is that coming? Is that part of the training that we're talking about with using the bank accounts?
Yeah.
Is that associated with the bank accounts, or is that a separate internal Pacifica thing?
It's a separate internal Pacifica thing. We're just finishing off, Markeisha and I, the sort of the SOP basically for finances and how to deal with it. We have some stations already. We've just had a couple of check requests that we've been, anytime that the national office has put through any sort of check requests, we use a check request form, we attach it, we code it. You know, we have everything all put together in one file. And KPFK, we started implementing that with a couple of check requests that they had put through this week. And we put it through the check request process. And it's not a problem. We called the vendor and, you know, they were asking for their money and we said it's in the process. This is when the check will be, you know, sent out, that kind of thing. So you know,
great.
Vendors understand things like that. So it's very easy. Yeah. It's going to be very easy to do. But we just want to make sure that all the staff members know what they need to do and, you know, put them through the training so they can't say, I didn't know what I was supposed to do.
Good to hear. This is all good. I'm going to ask, excuse me, I'm going to ask others if they have questions now. Anyone else have a question? Stephanie, I'm going to ask you a couple more quick ones, and then we can go on to the next item. We were trying to get the number for the call center ported back to WBAI. Do we have any update on that?
No, I believe that is in the hands of our legal team.
Arthur, yeah. Got it. And what else here? Oh, I've got another thing here. I can ask you about that privately. Okay. All right. I'm going to call it. Oh, here's one other thing. And Julie, maybe you can help me with this. I just don't remember. As I was reading the minutes, there was a question in there that we were discussing about, do we need a motion from the NFC recommending that the PNB approve the transfer of the bank accounts, you know, to Bank of America? And as I recall, the PNB did that, but there was some question about whether we just talked about it or we ever approved a motion. And Stephanie had asked in one of these NFC meetings if we would present a motion to the PNB for that purpose. Is that taken care of as far as you, Stephanie, and you, Julie, are concerned? Are we good there?
This is Julie. I mean, I thought we did pass a motion.
I think we saw that.
I think we did, too.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you off the top of my head what day it was, but or what meeting, but maybe I can find it and let you know in email, perhaps.
That's what I recall as well. I just, again, in reviewing our Paul's minutes, I saw that discussion and it sparked the question. So, yeah, I think you're right. Okay. I think we're out of time for this item. And but let me just ask one more time. Does anybody else have any other questions for Stephanie? Hearing none. Stephanie, why don't we go ahead now to the consolidated financials?
Okay, everybody has had the August or consolidated financials for period ending August of this past year, excuse me, for a little while. I think the September ones will probably be sent within the next week, if even that, probably less. So again, this is with August. As an overview of the, you know, do you want me to go through like each station or, well, the year to date?
Why don't we start with the consolidated and then, you know, see where it leads us.
Okay, so looking at the consolidated, the total revenue for period ending August was $7,911,190. The total expenses for that same period, I'm looking at this on my phone because I unfortunately was in my car. I am pulled over. I'm not driving while I'm doing this, so it's just taking me a little bit longer to pull all of this up.
Good for you. I'm doing the same thing.
Yeah, so the total expenses for the same period were $8,311,213. And the net income or net loss for that period was negative and so sorry, I have a little dot here, 914. So our net loss for that period was 1,633,914. So, you know, obviously it's continuing to go through the same issue that we are not bringing in as much as is being spent. A lot of the stations are doing a very good job working on rolling out local sponsorships of programs, underwriting. That's one of the things that we talked about this morning at our one of the things we talked about at our general manager's meeting, and you know, bringing in another KPFT, for example, received a sponsorship for a year for one of their programs that the host was able to, you know, reach out with connections that they had. So the stations are well aware of what needs to be done. And one of the things that will be a plus, actually, in having the audited financial statements for each of the divisions is that when we are doing specific grant requests or sponsorship requests and people are looking for the financials, maybe they just want to give money to KPFK, not only can they get the Pacifica Foundation audited financial statements, but they can get a nice, you know, financial statement for that individual station as well without having to weed through our entire audited financial statements. So it is kind of a nice thing in general to do that. So I don't know if people had a chance to look at the consolidated financials or if they have any questions or...
Stephanie, I have one quick question, and it was as I was looking at the revenue, it looked like it was down over the 2 years, about a million and a half. Is that about right?
Yeah, if you look back at the revenue from 2 years ago, it was roughly 2 years ago at this time was roughly 11 million. And now we're at 9 million or 7.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So substantial decline.
Correct.
Go ahead,
a lot of that decline is if you, you know, look at it, a lot of that decline is, you know, unfortunately in the at least a million and a half less in just listener support.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure that
was the number I was looking at, the listener support.
Yes. Yeah, listener support. And what's not in here, which what I would, you know, like to see is that we've broken it down in some of our in the budgets kind of going forward, is not only is to have that listener support, and then I want to like break that down. So what are our new listeners that are coming in? What are the sustainers? You know, because when you have that sustainer donation, you can kind of count on that each month that somebody's making that pledge, and then we can count on that income each month.
Yes. All right. I just wanted to point that out, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
not a happy thing. Did I hear Kim requesting the stack?
Yes.
Go ahead, Kim.
I believe from 3/22/21, what you're looking at is the last of the PPP payment of $1.3 million on line 25.
Yeah, I don't think that was coded properly, honestly, because it is sort of showing a bit of income that maybe should have had its own line item.
Well, it's $1.3 million. So the only time we've gotten that kind of miscellaneous income was from the PPP.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's, you know, what the big drop is between 2 years ago and last year and this year. Well, no.
Yeah, because the total year prior in revenue was $8,100,000 total last year at this time, $8,114,366 compared to the current $7,900,000.
Right, but that's not that much difference as opposed to the previous year, which was $11 million.
Correct. Yeah. So the two. Yeah. So that would have included the PPP. The PPP.
Right.
Money. But right. The yeah.
And the number I was looking at, Stephanie, was the listener support, which seemed to have declined by $1.5 million. Are you saying that was the PPP money confused with the listener support somehow, or that was a separate number, right?
The PPP money was, just in general,
there
was a decline, of last year at this, last year in August, it was basically $6.5 million in listener support versus, this year actual at this time, $6.5 million in listener support. Last year at this time, $6.5 million in listener support. Or take a few hundred,
This is Kim.
Go ahead, Kim.
Well, without totally checking, KPFK, in the last 2 years has dropped significantly in our listener support. I'd have to look up the exact. So that's a big chunk of the decrease in listener support.
It is.
Correct.
But it's bad. It's also been gradual elsewhere.
Right. But this is a big jump between 2 years ago and last year. And part of that was K.
Yeah, I agree.
More than other stations. They may have been gradual. We were not so gradual.
Yes.
And the difference between last year and this year is still more decline.
Correct. With KPFK, 2 years ago with listener support was a little over 1.5 million.
Right.
And then last year was 1.2 million. And then this year it's 900,000.
Right. We might make a million in September, but, that's a third, 1.5 to 1 million, that's like we've decreased a third of our. Look, I remember, when I first started, we were getting $1 million in pledges in 21 days back in the day. Now we're getting 100,000 in pledges in 30 days. So, we're 10% of what we were, a decade ago.
Right.
That's a significant decrease.
And then KPFT, for example, last year at this time was basically 373,000, and in listener support, not other revenue, but this year it's 580,000. So, it is. We're all kind of balancing each other out, but not in the same rate. But there is definitely, improvements that are happening. Even with WPFW, they went last year at this time 1.259, so 1.3 million, again, just in listener support. And then this year they're at 1.3. So, give or take some change, they have increased. It's gone from 1.259 to 1.280.
KPFA
was 2.524 last year in listener support, and they're 2.7. So again, that's a wonderful increase of a couple $100,000 in just listener support. That's not counting the corporate matching, donations, community events, grant income, that kind of thing. So slowly but surely, we do have those stations that are working on that. BAI went 2 years ago, listener support in 1,063,000, and they're at 912,000.
Kim, Joe, Jack.
Go ahead, Kim.
Well, I'm going to say again what I've been saying for over 10 years. Just in numbers alone, it looks like Kay's listener support is 10% of what it was over a decade ago. But in fact, it's even more than that, because now we are at almost 50% a year in Fund Drive. That's over 150 days a year, as opposed to 90 days a year. So that, you know, it doesn't show up anywhere that people take that into account, but I do, since I've been looking at these numbers for over a decade. I mean, that's a significant decline as well. And somewhat insurmountable at this point at K.
And it really, again, boils down to taking a close look at our programming, making sure that we are paying attention to those programs and helping those programs that need some revising, some revamping, some updating, really taking a close look at the, you know, at the grid and bringing in those extra sources of income with underwriting, sponsorships, and, you know, ultimately grants that can support the things that we need. I know at KPFK we are, you know, putting together a capital campaign just for all of the tower repairs that need to be done, because it's, you know, over $200,000 of work that needs to be done with the tower. So there's a lot of moving parts in order to get us back where we need to be, and a lot of it is focused on that programming. And better outreach for our donors. You know, we have a lot of donors that aren't being reminded of pledges or renewal of, you know, credit cards or just the stewardship and thanking of the donors that we have.
You know, Stephanie, that was one of my questions. So maybe this is a good time to interject with it. I was listening, unfortunately, to one of our competitor stations, which I do sometimes to get ideas, and I noticed that they are running carts about using linking their sustaining memberships to their bank accounts instead of their credit cards. They're running carts about corporate match, and, you know, ask your employer if they have a corporate match program. They're running carts about updating their credit card information if they've, you know, if it's changed, and other things of that sort. There was some talk a while back about having something in the national office where we could be creating some carts and some things along those lines, and, you know, the personnel that was possibly in line to do that was not available. Are you thinking about continuing efforts along those lines, like maybe coming out of the national office, creating some carts, you know, in conjunction with some of the stations that could be used nationally and, you know, are available so that, you know, they can be just grabbed whenever needed, you know, whenever there's a little open space and you need a minute, you can just stick one of them in and have it play. That could also give us, you know, you've been talking about branding. Stuff like that could possibly give us a little bit of branding.
Yeah, I mean, all of that is definitely necessary. I mean, even consolidating out of the national office tax acknowledgement letters that need to go out. And, you know, the thank you notes and the follow-ups and the stewardship. You know, all of that does not need to happen on a local level just to ease some of the burden of the staff. And, you know, since people are making donations to the Pacifica Foundation through these stations, they do need to get thank you and tax acknowledgement letters on Pacifica Foundation stationery and letterhead. All of that needs to come out of the national office. But as far as the creating of carts and reminding people of wills, particularly end of the year with end of year tax donations, it's just a matter of, you know, who at what station, or are there volunteers that would be willing to create those carts and then make them available to the stations.
And, you know, Stephanie, I don't want to suggest at all that the national office might become more self-sustaining, but maybe they could put some self-promoting promos out there on, you know, across the network, suggesting that people give to the national office and reminding people of what the national office does and how, you know, what we do goes out to the affiliates, and, you know, that we are truly a national organization. And maybe you might want to make a small donation or otherwise to Pacifica itself.
Our poll for Stack.
I want to hear if Stephanie wants to respond, but I got her.
Yeah, it would be great to be able to have personnel that would be able to help create those.
Yep.
And I just don't know if we have the staffing or volunteers that would be willing to assist with that.
Well, you don't have them at the national office, but maybe if you requested it from the stations, they might be forthcoming with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's just an idea. So I heard our Paul.
Yep. And Kamau after me, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, let me go here. First of all, yeah, something like that. You got to be real, real careful because people identify with the radio station. I got to tell you, the vast majority of listeners have no idea that there is a Pacifica Foundation. Here and there, something buzzes in their ear about it, and then it's gone. And, you know, they know their station. And it would also be a bit problematical to have the national office competing for money with the stations on the station's air. So there's a lot to be thought about there, and I don't know that the national office saying, hey, we, you know, donate to us too, is a good idea. It would have to be done in an interesting way, and maybe it shouldn't be done at all. But I have another question. Are we going to approve this for release to the general world tonight?
I think we can, as long as, you know, we hopefully we'll get down a little bit into the weeds and make sure that there aren't any major mistakes in it, which is the reason that we want to review it before it's released. But I guess we're at 10. I didn't realize it's already 10:17. So we are at our time certain. Let me ask for a motion to extend so we can wrap this up and see if there are any more questions before we go to Kamau. Is there any sentiment there that we could extend for a little bit?
Yeah. Move to extend for 5.
Okay. I was thinking about possibly a little more than that, but I'll go with what I got here. Is there any objection or is there any discussion of extending for 5?
Can't discuss it.
I'll give you 10, Jim. How about that?
You're a man after my own heart. I appreciate that. All right, so let's move it to 10. Any objections? Is there any discussion of extending for 10?
You can't discuss an extension.
Okay, sorry. Thank you, Paul. Okay, is there any objection? Hearing none. Go ahead, Kamau.
All right. Couple of questions, and I don't think they're necessarily in the weeds, but I just kind of wanted to get an understanding going forward since we are in a new fiscal year. When Markeisha prepares these statements, are we ever kind of going into how the revenue is recognized? Are we just simply using the bank statement? And I apologize if I've asked this before, but I'm just curious because we've had a situation, and you'll see it pop up in September, where a check was stolen or something, and the money was refunded as a deposit in the bank account and subsequently recorded as revenue on the statement. I don't think that's correct. And so I'm just kind of curious, do we do any kind of checking about what we're calling revenue, you know, on these statements?
Well, that's why we have requested that the stations, we're all using the same bank, so it's much easier for Markeisha and I to consolidate the bank statements at the end of each month. And again, kind of taking that burden away from the business managers rather than just getting the information from them, which is how it is when stuff in something is given to us. It's coded and we are told this is such and such a revenue or this is revenue, and that's what we're working off of, what we're told. And it's not that easy or to get the reconciled bank statements from a lot of the divisions, or we'll get bank statements sent to us, but with not the documentation that's backing up a lot of the information that's on the statement. So then we're calling and asking, can we have the receipts? Can we have an explanation? Or, well, you know, what's this? And it's not that we're questioning something that's, you know, wrong. We just want to make sure that the information that we're getting, that it is getting input correctly. So, you know, all of anything that is questionable, we don't know it's questionable unless we're told that it's questionable. But once we get access to be able to reconcile those bank statements and look at things, when a deposit comes through and if something looks weird, it's like, oh, this is raising a little red flag. Let's go ahead and make a phone call and see what that is, rather than waiting until a month or 2 months or 3 months down the road until we get this financial information from some of the stations.
Come to the stack.
Okay, so thank you for that. So I'm giving you a heads up. It's about 12,000.
Okay.
That's going to show up in September. It looks like revenue, but it's not. It's just a check that was refunded and then subsequently sent back out to the vendor. So my second question is, at the end of the fiscal year this year, we had a substantial accounts payable to the Archives and National Office. I don't know if we discussed this in this committee or not, but are you going to establish an accounts receivable for WPFW for that outstanding, those outstanding fees, or is that somehow magically gone on October 1? How are we working with that?
Well, it's listed as a loss. I mean, there's so much that is owed by so many of the stations in past due central service fees that catch up for most of the stations would be nearly impossible. So we will make adjustments in the consolidated financials for next month that will reflect either a reduction, you know, some of the stations that we're paying more, you know, so it's not a little wonky. But those are the things that we want to try to catch as we move forward in this upcoming fiscal year, rather than people, you know, saying, I've made a payment, can we put that towards the bill that we had from 2017? It's like, no, I'm not going to carry a tab for that long. It just is too messy on paper. So we'll, you know, we'll have to really just take a look at that as we move forward.
Yeah. Okay. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you, Kamau. Kim.
I don't know. I mean, relative to the minutes and what I brought up like an hour ago, you know, I pointed out some errors that were miscoded. These were on WBAI's financials. And there's like a disconnect between my saying that and like the WBAI people taking that back to the GM to talk to Markeisha and get that straightened out. So we don't have a process and nobody's making these corrections once they're pointed out here. So, I mean, how do we do that? What is the process? Who does what? Who you know, who makes these corrections? How do they get corrected?
I may be stepping on toes, but it appears to me that if it's the, you know, the treasurers from each of the stations, when they're informed of a issue or a concern, then they can, you know, they're made aware of it, and they can discuss that with Markeisha directly, and we can pull in, you know, the general manager, of course, to be a part of it, or the business manager. I mean, I know that, you know, Kim, we've had multiple conversations with you and the interim general manager and Markeisha and myself to go over budget questions and, you know, anything that's questionable. And Kamau has called me as well multiple times if he has questions on things. So, you know, if there is something that is brought up that is a concern, I would think that as a representative of that station on the National Finance Committee, that it could then in turn, you know, they would have that information to discuss with Markeisha and the station itself to figure out what those questions, you know, what the answers are and to make those corrections.
Are you done, Kim? Kim?
Well, yeah, I'm done. I mean,
okay.
So it's up to somebody to pick up the ball and make those corrections for the next time, right?
I hope so, yes.
Okay, that is a good, a perfect lead in to a question that I had, and that was that the WBAI general manager sent a Google Docs in an email, Google Docs email to the national office. It was copied to you, Stephanie, and to Markeisha. And in it, he has all of the invoices and the revenue from October 1st, 2022 to October 31st, 2023. And that was an attempt to try and fill in the gaps for Markeisha, because I think what we determined was that she was working basically from bank statements that don't give much in the way of a description for what a transaction is. And if she had the invoices, and she made the comment that she wasn't getting invoices from the stations. So my question is, if you've had a chance to see that file yet, Stephanie, or if you've had any comment from Markeisha about it, is that helpful? He sent them everything, all the invoices, all the revenue sources. You know, for example, we talk about revenue listener support at from WBAI in the consolidated financials, but we get revenue from sustaining members. We get revenue from PayPal. We get revenue from the website. We have multiple sources of revenue. We have and that just all gets lumped together in the consolidated as listener support. So we could break that down for Markeisha if that would be helpful. And in fact, I'm the specific question I'm asking is, did that Google Docs did that help with all of that information? I realize it might just be like a tidal wave of information and too much all at once, but is that the kind of thing that would help her identify what these relatively faceless, if you will, entries are in the bank statements?
Well, it's much easier to receive details, particularly with the number of transactions that each of the stations has on a monthly basis rather than a dump of a year at a time, because then
of course
it's really going down and breaking, going back and entering things if need be, looking up matching numbers, you know, okay, well, here's a $25 donation through Act Blue. Now, what was that listed at? You know, that's just overwhelming to get a year's worth of, you know, that's like having to reconcile a year's worth of bank statements all at one time. So yes, it's helpful to have that all that information, but it's nearly, I wouldn't say impossible. It's very overwhelming to just get a
back of receipts and say, okay, now let's go back a year and see if they match up.
Right. So the advice there would be do that on a monthly basis. But that would be helpful information, but on a monthly basis, not like a fire hose. You don't want to be drinking from a fire hose here. Right.
Correct. Which we'll be able to do now because we will have access to, because WBAI has already transferred their money over, and they, you know, we have access now to the account where we can reconcile that bank statement on a regular basis and look at it, you know, for a small amount. You know, it's a much easier to do a month's worth of receipts than one shoebox worth of receipts versus three trash bags of receipts.
Yeah, and I'm sure that'd be easier for the general manager to compile as well. So I will talk to him about that, make sure he does that. Just one final thing, and that is that on the two-year look back on the consolidated financials, the amount for premium shipping, and I'm not looking at it right now because I'm on my phone, just seems impossibly low. So I don't know if you can make a mental note or scratch a note about that and see if that seems accurate to Mark.
Well, a lot of that too. A lot of the issues too is that some of the stations, if they aren't, well, this is kind of an issue too, I believe, with CPB funding, is that the premium is, oh, well, this is what we made with the premium, and they don't take into consideration the actual expenses that are associated with that premium. So if we, you know, had to pay the person that we purchased those premiums from shipping costs, those need to be deducted and listed as premium shipping costs. So a lot of it was just kind of a simple way, you know, out, and things weren't coded correctly. You know, that's
most of what WBI lists as shipping costs is them shipping the premiums out to the recipients. I take your point about there's an additional inner thing there with premium shipping costs. But what I was saying is that the premium shipping cost total for the end of this year and the end of last year seemed, you know, about right. But then the year prior to that just seemed impossibly low in comparison to these 2 years. So I just thought maybe she could take a quick look at that. But I'll talk to the general manager about that, and maybe he can talk to her about that, and they can figure it out.
Right. And I mean, I would probably have to take a look at the audited financial statements, too, to see if there was anything that was listed, you know, that's 2 years ago.
Yeah. And so you basically have said that it seems like, you know, treasurers and, you know, members of the finance committee, it's okay for us now to start communicating with Marquise. You know, I was particularly kind of staying hands off on her because, you know, she had a big job to step up from being the business manager in Texas at doing this, basically acting almost like a CFO for us. And, you know, it was a huge amount of work that she had to transition into. We had Great Plains not working for 6 months or more, and then she had to do all that catching up. But now you're saying it's okay to start working with her a little bit more and communicating more with her to try and help her actually identify some of these things.
Correct. But if there's something that, you know, you're questioning the shipping costs from 2 years ago, I'm only using this as an example, but if you're questioning shipping costs from 2 years ago, Markeisha's not going to have that information. Your membership department's going to have that breakdown. Where is the discrepancy? So I would try to get any sort of information or answers from the source first. And then once you know what needs to be changed, then let us know and we can make those changes. Otherwise, if she's called to say the shipping costs, and I'm only saying this with the shipping costs just because you brought it up, but you know, if she all of a sudden is called and said the shipping cost from 2 years ago looks weird, then she's going to call the source, which is the membership department, and say, do you have a breakdown of why these figures are different? So it would be, you know, helpful to be able to get maybe some of those answers, or not be able to find those answers if need be, and then get her involved to try to make those changes.
Got it. So I see that there's something that seems wrong on these consolidated. I'll talk to Bertol about it, see if we can figure out what it is. And then if need be or helpful, we'll talk to Marquise. Got it.
Okay.
Got it. Thank you.
Correct. Because when we get the, when Markeisha puts together the consolidated, they get sent to the GM and then they forward them to their, you know, each department takes a look at it and they'll say, oh, we should have had more car donations here. Why isn't that? Oh, well, because we didn't code this correctly. Or, oh, that seems awfully high for shipping. Oh, we put the FedEx expenses in, you know, in the USPS expenses or whatever. You know, so a lot of that is that, you know, on a local level, see those problems, make note of those problems, and we will fix those problems. Rather than
and obviously, as you point out,
where they come from.
Obviously, as you point out as well, mostly we want to be doing this going forward, not going back looking into ancient history. Understood.
Right. And sometimes it's easier to look at ancient history because it's more to, oh, this isn't right, whereas trying to focus on what we can do to make things better in the future.
Right. So it's now 10:35. We are at our time. I'm going to ask if anybody else has any burning questions that they want to ask now. Not hearing any, I think it would be safe to say that we are past our time certain and we are adjourned.
Oh, what? Are we releasing this?
Move to.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's great. Yes. I think, you know, we have reviewed it. We see some, I at least saw something that I thought might not be right, but, I don't think, as was pointed out here, it's not necessarily worth going back to try and sort it out. So is there any objection here to saying that we should release this now?
This is Kim.
Go ahead, Kim.
I don't have a problem with releasing these. I would just like to see the corrections made for the next financials.
Yeah, I agree. Going forward. Yep. So I don't think we usually have a formal vote on these things. So if we're all in agreement that these can be released, then let it be so. So that means the treasurers can take them back to their finance committees and, you know, they can be used in the LSBs for discussion, et cetera. All right. So is that satisfactory, R. Paul?
I guess it is.
I mean, or if you would prefer a formal motion, we can do that.
No, I don't need a formal motion. This is fine. If we're going to do this, that's just fine.
Yeah. Okay. Good. All right, then. So we're adjourned. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Fred Blair, for streaming us. Thank you, R. Paul, for all the work as secretary. I know it's a lot of work, so thank you, everybody. A well-attended meeting. Very good. Good night, all.
Good night.